Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning and welcome to Coatesville Connection. This morning, we're joined by Father Antonio. He is at St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville, here to talk about a wonderful spirituality. Welcome, Father.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, for being here, and to be able to share with you the spirituality of gratitude. We are here to talk about gratitude. What is thankfulness? I'm Father Antonio. I belong to the Franciscans of Mary, Missionaries of Gratitude, and it is a pleasure to be here with you. And we're here to talk about gratitude, thankfulness. What is gratitude? What is to be grateful? The first thing I have to say is that it is not easy to understand the concept of gratitude. It is a wide concept, and it is not attractive either. It is not easy to understand, and it is not attractive, and it is not instinctive. And it is not attractive because we don't understand it, and because we don't want to know about how to be grateful. I think that the only way to understand it is by living it. This is my experience. The first time I heard about gratitude, I didn't understand it too well. And just by living it, and by meditating it, by praying it, I could understand it better. So I understand the difficulty of understanding this concept. It is not easy. It is not easy for me to explain it. It is every time I'm gonna talk about gratitude, it's very difficult for me. Even if I know the meaning of this concept, even if I know what involves, it is not easy. So the first thing we have to say in order to approach to this concept is, well, we can approach through a human perspective. What is gratitude? Some might say, to be grateful is to say thank you, and that's it. Thank you. You did me a favor. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is a word you use usually. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. And that's it. And that's it. And that's courtesy. But this is like the surface of gratitude. This is like the top of the iceberg. Then we can identify gratitude with a sentiment. I feel grateful. I'm grateful because I feel grateful. I don't only say thank you, but I say I feel it. I feel that I am grateful. But I repeat, this is just like the face. We have to go beyond the face, the presentation, and know what's behind that presentation, that face of the coin. We can call it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is another perspective that can help us to understand this concept. And this approach is religious. The religious approach. And I think that this religious approach goes to the root of the concept. It doesn't deny the human perspective. We can say that the human perspective and the religious perspective are the two faces of the same coin. But in order to understand this concept fully, we have to view it from this religious perspective. The first thing we have to say about gratefulness is that it is a response. It is a response. It doesn't depart from our initiative. It is always a response. First, someone does something for me, and then I answer, I respond. I say thank you. So we're going to see the concept of gratitude from this religious perspective as a response. How has man responded to God? From his early beginnings. This is the question. We're going to analyze very superficially how man has given his response to God's initiative. And we're going to see like the levels in his response to God. And then we're going to start like, when we get to the concept of gratitude, then we're going to understand this better. First, we're going to see the response of man, the primitive man. How was his response to God? First, we have to say that God revealed man to this primitive man through creation. Notice what Pope Benedict XVI said. In nature, the believer recognizes the wonderful result of God's creative activity. Nature expresses a design of love and truth. It is prior to us, and it has been given to us as the setting for our life. Nature speaks to us of the Creator. So the creation is the way, the first way we can say that God reveals himself to man, creation. And man, because he has the ability to reason, he discovers that there has to be a being, a supreme being behind this creation. This we call it intuition. Man has the intuition that there is a supreme being behind this creation, and that this supreme being had to put an order to creation, or many supreme beings. This supreme being has not only the intelligence to put an order, but also the power. And that's why man knows that this supreme being or these supreme beings are powerful. The Almighty. And man is going to relate to this supreme being how? This is the question. Through some rites. And he knows that this supreme being, that sometimes or many times, is identified with any element of the nature, water, air, a tree, sun, wind, fire. This man, this primitive man, knows that this supreme being is able to protect him. This is like the first intuition. First intuition is the existence of this supreme being. And then I know that this supreme being, this divinity, can take care of me. And he's going to start relating with this divinity through some rites, trying to seek protection. Protection and mercy. Because he knows that this divinity can punish him for any reason. So the relationship is based on some rights, but this relationship is going to be based on fear, mainly on fear and interest. Okay, I approach you, I come close to you with fear, I'm afraid of you, I know you are superior than me, that you are the Almighty, and then I come to ask for some things that I need. Your protection. Mainly the protection. This is the first response to God's initiative, fear and interest. And this is part of the evolution of the spirituality. The second, then after this revelation, this natural revelation comes, we can call it supernatural revelation. God himself reveals to man. He decides to reveal himself directly to man. And he's going to choose someone, a specific person, Abraham. He starts the history of salvation. And God is gonna intervene in his life. Abraham, we know this, he believed in many gods. That was part of his culture. And God intervenes in his life. And I want to cite one passage of the Genesis. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God the Almighty. Walk in my presence and be blameless. Between you and me, I will establish my covenant, and I will multiply your exceedingly. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, for my part, here is my covenant with you. You are to become the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I am making you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings will stem from you. I will maintain my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting covenant to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now residing as aliens, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. So God takes the initiative. So God appears to Abram, and he is going to offer him some promises. If Abraham makes of God his own God, I will give you land and I will give you descendants. And Abraham is interested on this, because in his culture, to have a land and to have descendants was very important. Very important. But here's the pact. Here's the covenant. I'll be your God, and I'll give you land and descendants. What is the response of Abraham to this? Okay, he will do God's will. He will say, yes, I want this. I want a land. I want descendants. And you will be my God. If we see carefully, the response is always interest and fear. And we're going to see why fear. Always God takes the initiative. And then comes the response of man. The response of the first man, of the primitive man, was intuition, rights, I need protection, I seek you for protection. And the response of Abraham is, you will be my God. Here is like a step, a new level in the relationship with God, because the relationship between Abraham and God is not a relationship based between a tree and man, between sun and man, between fire, water and man. Here is a relationship, a personal relationship. Then God is going to take the initiative once again. His people, the people of Israel, is a slave in Egypt. And God is going to save them from this slavery. God takes the initiative once again. And the people accept Moses' proposal. if you come with me, you'll have your own land and you will not be a slave anymore. God takes his people out from this slavery, and then comes the covenant, another covenant, like not another one, but like the continuing. Here comes the continuing of the covenant made with Abraham. Mm. God is going to seal this covenant. God saves his people. What is the response of these people? The response is the fulfillment of the commandments. And not only 10 commandments, but many, many laws. God gave many laws to his people. The main ones were the 10 commandments. But there are some others, many others. Laws for rights, laws for your relationship with strangers, your relationship with strangers, many laws. Mm-hmm. And notice that this covenant has some promises too. God promises his people a land, victories in battles, prosperity, many things. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses from 26 to 28, says, "See, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I give you today. A curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way I command to you to go after other gods, whom you do not know." And there is a large list of blessings and curses on Deuteronomy 28. The whole chapter is a list of blessings and curses. If you obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, I'll curse you. Once again, initiative, God saves his people from slavery. The answer from God's people is the fulfillment of some laws, of many laws, the commandments. Here's the covenant. And God has to be their God alone, and they have to fulfill in response to God's initiative with the fulfillment of the law, of the commandments. Once again, this covenant is based on a trade. Exchange of things. I give you this, you give me that. Here's the logic of the covenant. It's a trade. So the relationship between God and his people is going to be a relationship on behalf of God's people. Is going to be, I'm going to repeat this again. The relationship between God's people and God is going to be based on interest and fear. Once again, due to this logic of trade, notice that the most important law is to love God. I cannot say that the people of Israel approach God because they only wanted to take something from him, or because they were afraid of him. The main law, the first one, is love your God. And it is on Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses from 4 to 6. But when you see the whole history of Israel, what Why do you say what is predominant is this logic of trade. I give you this, you give me that. Okay? In the end, this relationship is motivated by selfishness. By selfishness. I'm thinking of me. The people of Israel loved God, but the predominant thing is interest and fear. Interest, I want blessings, I want protection, I want success. Fear, I don't want to be punished, I don't want to be cursed.
Well, that's, it's a lot like God as being a parent with a child. You know, that's the way that children react to their parents. And there's an element of trust that they cannot maneuver through the world on their own. They need their parents to tell them the guidelines. So there is a fear in a child of their parent, and there's also a return. You know, if you follow these rules, then I will protect you.
Exactly. And we are educating our children on fear and interest.
Right.
Okay? And here is the mess. Here is the mess in the family. Mm-hmm. I just talk to you, Mom. I take care of you because I want this. Mm-hmm. I do my homework because my mom and my dad are going to give me this or that.
Right.
Or because they can punish me.
Right.
So, and we still have the mentality of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Trade.
Yes. Is there a reason that God was sort of just preparing Israel for a bigger...
Yeah.
So he wanted us to mature. He couldn't start at this top level.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is totally understandable. Mm-hmm. I am not blaming the people for being this way with God. I'm just looking at the facts.
Right. Well, God has to introduce himself.
Yeah. And he had like to understand also the culture of that people. That was normal. Mm-hmm. That was normal. And that's why God, at the first time, God asked Abraham to give his son in sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And Abraham didn't hesitate, mm-hmm, because that was normal in his culture. Mm-hmm. And there is, as you say, there is a pedagogy of God, okay?
Yeah.
So we're analyzing the response of man.
Right.
There is an evolution in this spirituality. And we're going to see what happens with Christ. Here's the novelty. Here's a novelty, a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And here is where Catholics are introduced.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be introduced on the dynamic of the new covenant.
Right. Right, yeah.
We cannot reject the old covenant. We cannot say fear and interest cannot be part of my nature. No. But here is a novelty. And Jesus, well, we'll see this. Jesus tells us, ask. And no, there is hell and there is heaven and there is purgatory. But there's still a novelty, a big, important novelty with Jesus. And as I said, this is very superficially.
Yes.
This is very superficial. I cannot stay on the details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just to give you like a map of the evolution of spirituality. And the same thing we can say about Buddhism, Hinduism,
right,
Islam. They all are based on fear and interest.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. Because we all are human. The same thing.
Well, Father, I was thinking that humans were created for worship. We are hardwired for God. Before God revealed himself in covenant, in our own human minds, we were finding things to fulfill that worship. But when God introduces himself to Abraham, it exceeds what a human mind would have asked for.
Exactly. First, we have to say that man is religious always. Mm-hmm. Even if we are living in a society in which we hear constantly that we can decide whether be or not religious, this is false. This is completely false. So the conclusion of this first program is to say that man has an evolution in his response to God's initiative. God takes the initiative always, and then comes the response. This response is not going to be perfect. As I say, it involves an evolution. First, man is going to relate with something. A tree, water, fire, whatever. Knowing that there is this existence of a supreme being. And he's going to relate with this supreme being through some rites, asking for protection, success, whatever. Then God introduces himself, reveals himself directly, not through creation, directly to Abraham. And he's going to do a pact, a covenant with Abraham. And a pact, a covenant, is a trade. I give you this, you give me that. This is the logic. But there is an evolution in my knowledge of God. This God is not a tree. This God is not water. This God is a person. Then we're going to take another step. This step is the covenant with Israel at Horeb. The same thing. A relationship based on a trade. But as we said, this is part of the pedagogy of God, right? We'll still have a relationship based on interest and fear. And we can apply this to a Catholic. If I don't go to Mass, I can be punished, I can go to hell. If I go to Mass, I hope that God is gonna give me what I am asking him for. And also, the way we relate to God is the way we're going to relate with others. If my relationship with God is based on interest and fear, I'm going to have a relationship with others, with my husband, with my wife, with my children, based on interest and fear. We haven't evolved spirituality. Spiritually speaking, we haven't evolved. Spiritually speaking, we have stayed with the Old Testament. And as he said, we have to understand all this process. God is patience. And God teaches us how to relate with him. So let us pray. Let us give thanks to God for this moment. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.